All right, y'all, we're back. Episode 4. This week, Alice comes to town. Not the Burn anymore. Now they're fancy as FC Dallas. Still can't believe I was there when Quincy scored that goal. Man, you just saw him break away and like, oh, he's got space. And then he did it, and then he scored. Fucking, it was amazing. Speaking of amazing, we just had another Cali Clásico go down last Sunday. It's Wednesday now. And as usual, it was another Clásico. I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it. Those are some of the best games. It doesn't matter how many big name players this team or that team may have, or what form the team is in. When those two go at it, it doesn't matter. It's even. It's always evenly matched. It's always, and nobody has an advantage, and they're always fun games. I mean, the first game at Avaya, they had a friendly with Galaxy, you know, just to kind of try it. You know, it was a really small thing to try out, make sure everything was working. That friendly, that, you know, quote unquote friendly, was not very friendly. It was such an exciting game. It was like if it was a playoff game and it was just a practice game, you know, several weeks before the start of the season. But that's just how it is with these two teams. It's awesome. I know people get tired of hearing it. Oh, yeah, West Coast, North Cal versus SoCal, whatever. But they're honestly very fun. And I can't wait for the one at Stanford. That's always an event. But this game, man, this is one of those games that soccer purists might appreciate. I don't know. It was kind of, I guess, sloppy at points, but when you're drinking copious amounts of alcohol, it all looks fluid to you. It was a very, I don't want to say hard fought game. That sounds like such a lame deal, but while I was sitting there at the bar watching the game and talking to this dude I was at a golf course. I was watching this game at a golf course. It was a restaurant at a golf course. Shout out to Porters in the Forest in Pebble Beach. They hooked me up. It was really cool of them. It was really fun. But again, you know, there's 20 TVs in this bar. One of them is showing the Quakes game, and yeah, that's the one I requested. But I managed to sneak a couple people out of their little golf circles parties. I don't know what they were doing. Pretty interesting, but pulled them out, and they were watching the game, and you know, one of the guys was like, "Dude, I grew up playing soccer in the Bay Area. He went to playing college soccer in the 70s in the Bay Area," and he was like, "People don't understand. They don't understand how beautiful the run of play is. The 0-0 game will bore a lot of Americans, but a lot of great, beautiful plays could have happened in that game." And it was just interesting and refreshing to hear that, because I agree with that, and I've heard that before. And that was one. This was one of those games, and then fucking Galaxy scored, man. Then the Galaxy scored, and it was just, oh, that was heartbreaking. And they were at home again. They haven't lost at home, so you know, MLS teams usually do extremely well at home. And so you were just, you know, you saw the goal, and it was like, man, 83rd minute, I think it was 83rd minute, and It was tough, but it was the Clásico. It was the Clásico, and I'm gonna go cliche and say anything could happen, because everything has happened. It seems like during these all however many games that they've played against each other, but then of course. The MLS soccer gods have spoken, and Fataya Lache, that guy, I like that dude. He's going to be a great player. Fataya Lache on a corner just put it where it needed to be. It was a no-brainer. Right when he hit it, you knew it was going in. I mean, it was instant. Yeah, I really had to contain myself again. I was at a golf course, but it was just another classical classic, you know, another classical classic moment, and it was really fun to watch. It's not the same on TV. Got to make it down to LA one time, man. It looks like it's fun down there. Looks like it's fun. It's out in Carson. Beautiful skyline of freight ships and container ships waiting to dock at the port. That's beautiful. But another exciting classical. June 25th is the next one. Is that a Friday? Saturday. It's a Saturday. June 25th. Is the next Clásico. That's the Stanford game in Santa Clara. And damn, get your ticket to that. If you don't have a ticket to that, you got to get a ticket to that. That game will sell out, even though it is 53,000 or however many people you can stuff into Stanford there. But that's an event. That's an event. And the environment really... Again, it doesn't matter how the teams are playing. When they play each other, it's like it's a championship game every single time. It doesn't matter if it's just for bragging rights or if it's for the MLS Cup or the World Cup, whatever it might be. These teams are just gonna go at each other's necks, and it's really fun. So yeah, you got to come check it out. But one of the interesting things is I heard that or saw that it was the same starting 11 from the Houston. It was pretty thrashing like, but that's a thrashing. It's 3-1. Man, that game, there was some good goals in that game. But yeah, so they looked really good. But it was against Houston, you know. Like, yeah, it you should look good, you know. If you think you're one of the better teams in your conference, you better look good against some of the teams lower in the table. And so some people question that win, but Galaxy, they're right above the Quakes in the table, and again, they're a legitimately good team. I guess everybody could agree with that. But same starting 11, and it really, really caused them problems. It really caused them problems. So it was good. It's good to see the team kind of gelling and coming together. And I'm excited. This next game against Dallas is gonna be tricky. And yeah, that's the next game. This Saturday. Is it Saturday? Yeah, Saturday, May 28th. Saturday, May 28th, Dallas is coming in, and man, this is a scary team. Dallas has slowly been building a young, fast goal-scoring team. I don't know. They're really good. They come in second place in the Western Conference so far, and they beat the Revolution 4-2 in this last. The last game I think they played on Sunday. I don't know. I don't remember they played, but yeah, they beat Revolution 4-2. And the scary part here is that Tesho is is turning it on. Tesho had two goals in that game. And the Tesho, I know if any Quakes fans might have shivered when they heard that name, but in back in 2014 when he was a rookie, he had a hat trick in one of the worst loss of the season. There's no way to put it. It was the worst loss of the season in 2014. Dallas beat the Quakes 5-0 at Buckshaw. Man, that play. Watching the highlights, and you see Buckshaw, and it's been now. This is the second year of Avaya. When you see the Buckshaw, looks like it's so far away or so long ago, but you're not gonna get that again. But that was one of the worst. I'm not gonna lie. What one of the hardest 90 minutes that you had to sit through. A lot of 24-ounce Coronas that night, and I don't think there was any more in the parking lot, but that was a tough one. That was a tough one. So they come in again, fresh off of that road win, and road wins are so difficult to get in MLS. Everyone knows that. And that's what makes it even more concerning. But I don't know. I've never had a concern at the Quakes at home at Avaya. Buckshaw was a whole different thing, but Avaya is its own little fortress, and they haven't lost in 11 games. Quakes have they're 7-0-4 with four ties. Oh man, sometimes those ties can weigh on you, but they're being at home, which again is not this uncommon thing. It happens a lot for a lot of teams, but that's our fortress, man. That's our fortress. Oh shit! Speaking of our fortress, the longest outdoor bar in North America's got a new name. What was it? A Roku 4K? I think it's called the Roku 4K Bar. Fucking okay, that's cool. That's interesting. Go, again, more money for the team. I'm okay with that. I don't know. We got to start seeing. And hopefully we will start seeing the rewards of all this money come into the team. Because I'm so far, it's looking good. It's looking good. It's not spectacular, but again, you talk going back to this week's opponent. Dallas isn't making big, spectacular, splashy trades, but they're building a really damn good team. So you don't need big money in MLS to build a good team, but you do need to infuse some money. So whatever. You're gonna name the fucking bar. I'm okay with that. Name the damn bar. But what the coolest deal I saw, and I don't know, I'm probably gonna have to get clarification, but it was awesome to me. So. The bar, anybody that's seen, anybody that's been to Avaya, any balls that get kicked out of that, that end where the bar is facing the airport, that you better duck. You better be paying attention to the game. That's what I love, is you can't be sitting there socializing like, oh, I'm just here, selfies, taking pictures. No, you have to pay attention because all of a sudden, Bernardes, Muma, might kick a 40-mile-an-hour fucking ball right at, because he doesn't hit the goal as much, but he kicks hard as fuck, and you take some of that to the brain, it won't be good. You won't be going to work for a couple of days, but so the deal is. So somebody kicks a ball into the area, into the bar area, and you catch it, and you when you return it, you get a TV. You get a TV. I mean, I guess it happens maybe 3 or 4 times a game that a ball gets kicked into the bar. So it's not a lot, but 4 times 20 games in a season. Well, let's just say 17. No, 20. I'm not gonna do 4 times 17, but 80. They're giving away 80 televisions a year? I guess that's not a lot. 80 televisions? What do they sell? Like millions of them? I don't know. So yeah, I'll have to clarify. But that's what I saw that the email said, that you kick the ball into the bar area, you return it, you get a Roku 4K TV. I don't know, it might be 20 inches, whatever it is. You get a free fucking TV. What are you going to say? But and also, they're giving away 2,500 coasters. 2,500 coasters during each game that has a certain minute, you know, for obviously 1 through 90, whatever minute it might be. And if the Quake score during that minute, you get a voucher for 50% off. 50% off a TV if you have that minute. So they score in the 34th minute. Your coaster has 34 minutes, the 34th minute on it. Boom, 50% off a Roku. And I'm just hearing myself, and it sounds like I'm doing a fucking commercial. But I just read this. I just think that's exciting. Yeah, that's, dude, 50% off TV. If TV is two grand, that's $1,000 off. That's $1,000 off. I don't know how much Roku 4K TVs go for. I don't know. I wonder if I could look this up. But whatever it might be, that 50% off just for drinking some fucking beer, just for drinking whatever drink that they might serve you, and they'll serve you, do they serve you double shot drinks? I don't know. But, yeah, maybe I'm confusing what it is. Maybe you don't get a TV. Maybe you get like a, it's Roku. Maybe you get like a stick. I'm thinking you get like a TV. I should read these emails more thoroughly. I'm over here thinking you get a $2,000 TV every time they kick a fucking ball into the stand. Maybe you do. I don't know. I'm not gonna waste time right now and try to find that. But hey, you might get a fucking TV. Just for having a screwdriver. Have a screwdriver. I get some shit for that, but hey, it's a good fucking trick. It's fucking vodka and orange juice. That's practically healthy. It's almost like Guinness. But anyway, so that, you know, again, Dallas is coming in. It's fucking scary. Ooh, you got Tesho. You got Barrios. You got a lot of fucking goal scorers. But this is a Vaya, bitch. This is a Vaya. And I don't think you're going to win. That's all I got to say about that. That's me. That's me trying to sing and segue into our terrible June. I mean, I'm a Giants fan also. And being a Giants fan the last several years, June's a fucked up month. And I get it. I understand it. Being from, again, I record here in Salinas, so I'm, you know, we're 10 miles away from the ocean. It gets fucking foggy. And in June, it's the worst month, man. The June is foggy as fuck, because it's really warm. It's really warm, like, down over there, King City, or I don't know where the fuck inland is, Antioch or some shit, to the Bay Area people. But it gets hot in there, so all the fog comes in, and June fucking sucks. So that's what I get. I understand that. That's when, like, when the Giants are playing, all the players that aren't from around here are like, what the fuck? Oh, shit, it was warm for, like 27 days. I thought springtime was warm in California. And like, well, no, this is Northern California. It's a bit different here. You better fucking nut up. So June's always a scary month in Northern California because everything just changes and you just got to be tough and deal with it. But what's not going to help for the Quakes in June, which looking at the calendar, they have 1, 2, 3 games, Portland, Orlando, L.A. Man, Portland and L.A. are really mad. Orlando, or whatever, I don't care, East Coast or Eastern Conference. Ooh, have fun. But the scary thing, Four of our players are going to be gone, man. There's the Copa America is going to be going on in June. And because we have such a fucking badass team, bro. No, just kidding. Just because we have a team. Four of our players are going to, you know, have to go on to international duty and go do what they do. And hopefully, you know, bring some more hardware in to the Quakes familia. But anyway, so obviously, you know, obviously, man, that's fucking kind of cocky. But Wando got called up. I saw a thing on MLS soccer questioning whether Wando should be up or not. I don't know. Dude's a poacher. Dude's a goal scorer. Nobody's going to forget fucking Brazil. Ooh, we get it. Whatever. Wando scores that shit 9 out of 10 times. It fucking happens. Yeah, I get it. I'm a Quake supporter, so I'm obviously biased. But I don't care, dude. What's his name? Dempsey could miss that shit too, you know, and I'm going to talk some shit. Of course I'm going to fucking talk some shit, but I get it, dude. It happens. Anyway, Wando, we're going to miss you, bro. We're going to fucking miss you. We always miss you when you're not around. Fucking fiery ass dude. Yelling at refs, getting yellow cards, talking shit. I love it, bro. Keep it up. But also, Dawkins, Simon Holmes. Simon Dawkins is going off to the Jamaican national team to go do his duty. And gonna miss the speed, man. Simon Dawkins, badass. You're one of my better players on Soccer Manager on Steam there. Because that's what I do. I play... soccer simulation games when I'm not watching soccer. But Simon Dawkins, yeah, I'm gonna miss you whenever you leave my squad. But you're leaving the Quakes for that month, and we're gonna miss you as well. And then also the Panamaniacs, which I fucking love, and I hope that keeps going. And the production on the pitch makes it seem like it's going to keep going. But the Panamaniacs, Alberto and Hannibal. Well, I guess I can't say Godoy at that point. I got to say, God, okay, I fucked that up. I said like they were married. Fucking dudes aren't married. Well, you know, Quintero and Godoy, we're gonna miss for a month. And, man, those guys are good. Panama, all of a sudden, Panama is like Cuba was to Major League Baseball several years ago, where they were just taking players, and all of a sudden, they would just become superstars. And you had Cespedes, and you had that, what was it? What's that? A Puig? I'm sorry. Sorry, you're a Dodger, bro. I don't think about you very often. But yeah, that dude, I think number 99, took over Manny Martinez. But yeah, all of a sudden Panama, they're the golden child. They're coming through. But anyway, those four players are gonna be gone for the month on international duty. And again, depending on how far each respective team goes in the tournament, we might not have because I'm on the fucking sideline all the time, right? But anyway, they might not be around for the Clásico at Stanford. I mean, hey, I would rather them represent their nation, and I know that really means a lot to them. But yeah, if one of these teams goes through, we might not have some of these players for the Clásico. But the Clásico, again, it's at the end of June. The only, I think the quarterfinal is the 16th. So that's 8 days, 9 days. I don't know. 25 minus 16. Figure it out. Before, so at that point, you would expect them to be back to the squad. And you know, they wouldn't need that much training to get back into the rhythm. But that's definitely, June is a big question mark there, and we'll see how the team pulls through the depth. We need a new word. The deepness. Can we say deepness? I'm saying deepness. Deep. It's not correct, but depth. Depth is only one syllable, though. Anyway, the depth of the team. I trust it a little more this year than years past, so I'm excited. You know, I'm excited, and yeah. So this is, again, football without hesitation is really a San Jose. I cover the earthquakes a lot. That's what I like. That's what I love. That's what I want more people to fall in love with. But the earthquakes also are you know, in soccer, football, whatever you want to call this sport, there's several tiers. There's tiers. You know, you got to find players. Again, Dallas, man, if you look at Dallas's roster, they're all in their 20s. And even more, they're all in their mid-20s or early 20s. It's pretty amazing. So, yeah, the sport, it moves so fast, and it's all about endurance and you know, who has that last bit of energy left. And yeah, so there's constantly a movement to try to develop younger players and youth teams. And another team that I follow closely for this, you know, in this podcast and just for soccer in general, I love it. In this country, it's getting very close to where even just domestically we can be watching live soccer or following live soccer 5 days a week. And in some places, if you love it enough, it probably is already there. But it's amazing. And this is really high-level competitive soccer. This isn't, you know, just some guys that set up some cones at a park. This is people that are moving on to the next level, playing in the bigger leagues. Well, I was just seeing this at the PDL website, the Professional Development League, which is essentially the highest level amateur league in the country. If you were to you know, want to name them, with MLS being the number one division, this would be the fourth division. So, I mean, I believe some of the players are paid. Players are paid. Damn. Try saying that once. Not even five times. Try saying that once. But I believe some of them do get some compensation, but most of them are amateur. And a lot of them do move on. And this, I saw this statistic, it blew my mind. So again, going down the U.S. soccer pyramid, you have MLS at the very, very top, and then right under them, or, you know, as they think they're right next to them, is the NASAL, North American Soccer League. Damn, try to say that after midnight. And that's Division Two. So you have MLS Division One, Division Two, NASAL. Division Three is the USL, which is also a professional league, and it's the lowest tier professional, fully professional league. And right below that, you have the PDL and all these other amateur divisions that fall under the American soccer pyramid. So 41% of the players in the USL, 41%, 4 out of every 10 players, so almost half of the players in the USL, which is, again, the lowest tier professional league, come from the PDL. And that was amazing to me. But even more amazing was that 35% of the MLS players are PDL alumni, you know, people that went through that league. 35%, 3 out of every 10 guys in MLS. And MLS has some pretty big names out there, and not only internationally but domestically. Nowadays, when you go down the U.S. men's national team roster, their players are not that foreign. They're not, you know, these strangers. A lot of them are very, very well-known guys. Yeah, they're not a LeBron James, you know, or, you know, some of these guys like that, Stephen Curry or nothing. You know, they're not one of these guys. But in their area and to the greater MLS and soccer community, they're very, very well-known people. And so it's interesting that, again, 3 out of every 10 of those guys in MLS started in this PDL league. And again, imagine all the other amateur leagues when you add them up. Could it be half of the guys in MLS started there? I don't know. I think that bodes pretty well for our development program, or however you want to call it, in this country. And this sport has definitely arrived. This sport is not something that's fleeting. MLS is not, it's not something that is in danger of going anywhere. I'm sure a lot of the teams still don't make money, or the ones that do, they don't make enough money as they would like to grow their brand. But it's definitely not this kind of thing on the fence. It's here to stay. They've done it right. And after the initial wackiness that we've had of one person owning half of the fucking teams or all of the teams, whatever the hell it was at first, and the weird wacky substitution rules and the shootouts and, you know, but it's really come together nicely and it's fun. And it's fun long story short, goddamn, I can get very romantic about this fucking sport. But what I was really trying to get at is that the Earthquakes have a team. The Earthquakes have a team in this PDL, this highest amateur division. They have an affiliate down there in Burlingame, which is I don't know where you might listen to this podcast, but Burlingame is on the Peninsula, San Francisco Peninsula. Is it the San Francisco Peninsula? I never even thought about that. I guess, yeah, it's got to be the San Francisco Peninsula, but it's in between San Francisco and San Jose. You know, that's where Burlingame is, and that's where their PDL affiliate is, the Burlingame Dragons, who is a pretty fucking good squad if anyone's been following. But this year, they started off. Damn well this year. The first two games of the season, they won by a combined score of 6-0. You know, one game was 5-0, one game was 1-0. So they came out with a bang, if you want to say that. But this last week, they... Oh, excuse me. This last week, they played the BYU Cougars, which, very fucking original name, Utah, BYU Cougars. Oh, man, I wonder where you got that. But anyway, that was the second place team. It is, again, it was only three games into the season. BYU was, I believe, 2-1, and Dragons were 2-0, but goal differential, they were in first place. So they squared off in Cougar Town over there, BYU, and Cougars ended up winning 2-1. Congratulations, Cougars! I didn't see the game. I just read the post game notes and all that. I don't know. I don't even know if they stream the games on YouTube, but definitely when they play at home, I'm going. I think the cheapest tickets were $5, I believe. It's like $5 or $7 were the cheapest tickets. Either way, these tickets are extremely reasonable. And, I mean, they're so cheap that, again, down here in Salinas, we're, maybe an hour and a half away from Burlingame. But if I'm paying $7 for a ticket, $10 for a ticket even, that drive, it all evens out. You can't get any better deal. Even if you go out to the aquarium here 20 minutes away, you're going to end up spending more money than you would if you drive, an hour and a half out there to Burlingame and watch some really competitive high-level soccer. Again, these guys, most of these guys are going to be playing in MLS. And I guess 35% is on most of them, but a lot of these guys are playing MLS. And it's only getting better. It's only getting better. I am in awe every kind of year, or every even half a year, how much the first flight was like, what, 1903 or whatever. Oh, the first plane, we flew powered flight the first time in 1903. And then first supersonic flight was like in the 50s. And then all of a sudden we landed on the moon in 1969. It was like, what the fuck? That was like 70 years. And we went from figuring out how to fly to landing on the fucking moon. What the fuck? That's where I feel like MLS is right now. Is all of a sudden you close your eyes and you open them and holy, there's two teams in New York and there's another one coming up in Los Angeles and they're building this world-class stadium. And then what the fuck? Atlanta? What? Atlanta's in the mix? Sacramento? Minneapolis? I don't know. You know, it just seems like it's just going and going. And it isn't, it's not this fucking Mickey Mouse type stuff, you know, just trying to get tied together. These are real movements that are supported by real people, fans. You know, there is big money involved in all this, but there's a big fan movement behind all of it. The millionaires aren't going to spend their millions and invest their millions if there aren't people behind this. If there's no opportunity, you know, if they don't see that chance to make that profit, they won't do it. And that's the bottom line. I mean, it might sound cruel, it might sound cold. That's what it is. But they're seeing it now. They're seeing that, okay, I can spend $100 million on a badass stadium. I could spend $150 million on a stadium. I could spend, you know, $8 million a year on an international superstar in his prime. We can happen because the response will be there. The fans will be there. So that's what I love what the MLS is doing. And the Quakes have a really, really good representative in the Brilliant Game Dragons in this. And I'm going to highly encourage you to go check them out. You might see me there. I don't know if you want to see me there. I don't care if you care about seeing me there. But I love this soccer thing, and I want to push it. And speaking of it, soccer, and it's an international game. It's a big sport. And the New Zealanders are the latest. Another thing, coming along with the Panamanians, they have a pact. There's some sort of New Zealand-Panama pact, but the New Zealanders are making a big splash in the game. I love that, the international flair that's happening, and I love that it's a lot of times these countries that do get looked over by teams in you know, UEFA leagues, you know, whoever they might be, or the South American leagues might look over these teams from these smaller countries because they might they're cheap players from poor countries. They might not be good, but the MLS is giving a lot of these players an opportunity, and New Zealand seems to be one of them. And again, in this loss against the Cougars that the Dragons had, the goal scorer was Brock Messenger, a New Zealander, you know, here in this country playing amateur soccer. And I love it. It's one of those stories, you know. I don't know where he's going to end up, but I know where he wants to end up. I know if I could sit him down, and I will. I'm going to send him a message. I'm going to sit down with some of these guys. Yeah, these are who I really want to talk to. Some of the guys that do it. You can't say they do it for the money. It's impossible for you to say they do it for the money. They do it on the highest level possible. They travel, you know, around the country, and they do it because they love it. So yeah, I want you to hear their story, their voice. I can you know, wax on as poetically as I want, but ultimately you need to hear it from them. You need to hear it from them. And on that note, I thank you again for listening to this. I hope it's getting better. This is the fourth episode. This is my first foray into doing a podcast on my own. I'm sitting here in my office talking to myself, looking around this wood paneling, I'm comfortable behind the mic, but I want to tell this story, man. I want to tell this story. Not only do I love the sport of soccer, but I love what's happening in this country, and I love how it's growing. And I hope you will join me and you find your own love in this sport. This is, again, this is an Earthquakes, Northern California type based soccer podcast, but in your area, there's great soccer going on. I guarantee it. I guarantee wherever you are, you some people might have to look harder than others, but there is great soccer going on. And please go out and find it and enjoy it and love it and be part of this revolution. It's only going to get better from here. All right. Catch y'all next week.